Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, my beautiful, strange, and unusual wonders of the weird? Welcome to Creepy Shit. I'm your host, Star, and this is where we dive into real hauntings, actual paranormal activity, and the folklore that'll make you question everything. We get into some seriously heavy shit, so expect plenty of sarcasm and dark humor along the way. It's how we cope with the nightmares. This podcast is for the morbidly curious, the believers, the skeptics, and everyone in between who craves the truth, no matter how disturbing. So settle in and remember, sometimes the creepiest shit is also the truest. This is Creepy Shit Podcast. Yo, yo, giggity, yo. Welcome back to Creepy Shit Podcast. I am loving spooky season, for real. And now we are officially at September 1st, which is when this podcast episode is being released. And we have a special guest today, which is Joe Diamond. And we're going to get to that interview and that conversation fairly soon. But we're also going to be discussing Maxwell Mansion today. And not to be confused with like Maxwell House and the coffee, not that. So this is a mansion that is in Lake Geneva, and I'm going to go through a little bit of the history and the haunting and all of that for you. And this is a very unique episode this time around, and it is spooky season. And if you can't be weird and unique on this podcast, where can you? That's my final thought on that. So what I want you to do is grab your favorite bevy, get cozy. We are going to explore this mansion and its hauntings, as well as have a very unique and powerful conversation about mind reading and actually working within the walls of this mansion with our special guest, Joe Diamond. So get ready, buckle in, and here we go. All right, I'm going to start with the historical background on this with Maxwell Mansion. It was built in 1856, and it was the first mansion ever built in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. It was originally called the Oaks, and it was built by Dr. Philip Maxwell, a prominent Chicago figure who was a field surgeon for the U.S. Army and a key figure in Chicago's early development. He's even the namesake of Chicago's Maxwell Street. Dr. Maxwell died 3 years after building the mansion in 1859, and his wife, Jerutha, lived there for about another 25 years longer. Now, there are many hauntings surrounding this mansion. And with the pictures I've seen and the conversations I've had on this, oh, I'm convinced. I'm convinced. And Maxwell Mansion is considered actually one of the most haunted locations in Lake Geneva, with numerous reported paranormal activities. One of the first things that's brought up when you talk about the different hauntings at this mansion is the ghost child Eddie and or Danny. So there's no actual evidence of fact of which one is which, but there is a little boy named Eddie who became ill and actually died in the mansion. He is believed to be inhabiting the hotel's attic. And one employee reported going up to the attic and finding that a toy had been rearranged. Staff say they've heard the sound of a ball rolling across the attic floor when no one is up there. And police officers responding to calls at the mansion have even felt like small tugs, like on their pants, as they walked up the stairs. Now, another supernatural being known as the Watcher has been reportedly seen sitting and watching guests who have stayed at the hotel. Now, that's just really creepy to me. I would be very uncomfortable in that situation. I don't really care for that. Like, no, thank you. Now, there's also this, there's so much history to this mansion because there's also a speakeasy part of this. And inside the hotel's speakeasy tavern, employees reported seeing hanging mugs fly off the wall. That is some poltergeist activity right there. A bartender also once found that a cash register kept ringing up its own order. And it was always a Bloody Mary, which I think, okay, I don't know if I'm thoroughly convinced on that because that just seems a little too, like, typical, I guess you could say. But women in particular report feeling oppressive energy or sudden nausea while in the speakeasy, as though they are tapping into the pain and fear of those who once underwent desperate treatments within these stone walls. Because remember, a doctor occupied this house. There is, of course, other phenomenon as well. There's other strange sightings and experiences that have been included in people's reportings, which include hearing cries for help from the hotel lobby and then finding nobody in the lobby. There are reports that include furniture dragging noises in empty rooms, faces appearing in mirrors of the apothecary bar and basement. There are cameras in the cognac room that constantly distort fail to capture a clear image and apparitions of a woman and her child on the main staircase. Now, of course, paranormal investigators and professional investigation has definitely taken place at this mansion. The Wisconsin Paranormal Research investigated the property on Halloween night, very appropriate, with founder Jay Hill reporting that his team recorded voices, they heard footsteps, and observed strange lights during a five-hour overnight examination. Hill said that his team observed circular blue lights known as orbs, which are sometimes associated with ghosts. I absolutely believe that. I have even captured an orb myself. And most of the activity was in the speakeasy tavern, in the building's basement, and in the cognac room on the first floor. So Maxwell Mansion currently operates as a upscale, kind of bougie, hotel with 28 rooms featuring the historic mansion with six traditional style rooms, plus additional accommodations in the carriage house and stables. It includes a speakeasy, craft and cocktail bars and lounges, and serves as an event venue. A lot of weddings have definitely taken place here. Honestly, it's truly magical and beautiful. When you see this house, I'm swooning, I'm not gonna lie. So the mansion is also a featured stop on American Ghost Walks, which is a 90-minute walking tour of downtown Lake Geneva, which focuses on the haunted history of the area. The mansion's reputation for paranormal activity is so well established that it's become part of its identity as both historic hotel and a destination for those interested in the supernatural. I will tell you absolutely positively, you need to take the road trip if you are in Wisconsin and get down to Lake Geneva. You need to go see Joe Diamond's show. For sure, he is amazing. We had such an amazing conversation. And we are about to get into that pretty quickly here. And I just want to tell you again, this has just been a wonderful, just unique little twist on our show for this episode. And I love it. So I hope you guys love it too. Please be sure to send any requests that you have for future episodes over to @creepyshitpodcast on Instagram. Be sure to go check out Joe Diamond as well. And without further ado, I would really like us to get into the interview that I had with Joe and have you guys have a listen for yourselves and some of his spooky tales. This is without the most wonderful, mystical, magical, and kind of creepy adventure we have been on so far. So go grab your favorite beverage, of course, if you haven't already, or if you need a refill at this point, now is your chance. And let's get into the interview with Joe. Here we go. All right, you guys, without further ado, please welcome Joe Diamond to the Creepy Shit Podcast. Hey, Joe, what's up?
Creepy shit, apparently. I'm excited. I'm so excited. People were asking this weekend, oh, what do you got going on, you know, after the weekend? I'm like, I'm going to be on a Creepy Shit Podcast. Like, oh, what's it called? I'm like, no, Creepy Shit Podcast. So it's great. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love creepy shit. That's, of course, why I'm here. That's why I do it for a living. And yeah.
Right. So, which is so awesome. So thank you. Thank you. So can you give us, so I know that with, the Maxwell Mansion, mm-hmm. and that your show is there. How did this all start to happen, and how did you get into mind reading in general? Because I'm so fascinated by this.
Yeah. Well, it's a long story. I'll give you the very, very abbreviated story of it. The bullet points, so to say. Honestly, for starters, I was a weird kid. I've always been into weird shit, creepy shit, all of it. And here's the other thing, too. I have the blessing and the curse of a baby face, so I look a lot younger than I am, which means I'm not going to look older. I'm just going to look worse. And so I'm not looking forward to that. But I was just out of sync with everything. I was into Ghostbusters, but close to a decade after the first movie came out. So the cartoon show was just ending. I got all the toys, but they were all secondhand, you know, so I was always a little out of step. But right around that same time, or in step, however you want to think about it. Right around that same time, Nickelodeon premiered and they had Nick at Night. And at night they had the black and white shows, yeah, you know, Dragnet. Bewitched, Twilight Zone, Alfred Hitchcock Presents. And as a kid, you don't really process these are older shows.
Right.
You just know Nickelodeon becomes black and white at 8 o'clock. So I would watch them, but I went to a very religious Baptist school. It didn't take. And so I would tell the other kids, oh my gosh, did you see Twilight Zone last night? To Serve Man, it's a cookbook. And they're like, what are you talking about? So I was always just a little out of sync with all the normal kids. My grandmother and great grandmother taught me how to read playing cards, like tarot cards. And right around that same time, my grandfather showed me my first card trick. And so, yeah, growing up, I had a more traditional magic kit and all that stuff. But when I got to my late teens, I got a summer job doing street performing at Six Flags Great America, a theme park about an hour north of Chicago. And by the end of that summer, I was reading palms. I was doing mind reading. I was, you know, they originally hired me to be more of a David Blaine style street magician. But by the end of that summer, I was just doing, you know, mind reading, palm reading. I did learn some sideshow stunts too, like how to hammer a nail in my nose and stick my hand in an animal trap. And for me at the time, I wasn't really separating all of this stuff. I just knew I wanted to be a performer. And yeah, people would be amazed if you could make a coin disappear. But if you told them, what playing card they were thinking of, or, you know, the name of a loved one or something like that. That was just a completely different level of engagement and reaction. Same thing with sticking my hand in an animal trap. That would get people's attention if I needed to do a bigger show. And I worked my way through high school and college doing smaller gigs and events like that. And as time went on, you know, I did my fair share of, you know, standard house parties, corporate events, and still do, like many, you know, professional full-time and part-time entertainers. But about 10 years ago, I really specialized in more mind reading and kind of purposefully didn't call myself really anything. So people would call me a mind reader because I found if I said something like magician, they would think I was going to pull rabbits out of hats for kids. And the word psychic, everyone assumes you're a medium and you talk to spirits. And I don't. I talk with people. There's lots of other mystical things I play with and incorporate in my shows, but that's like the main thing I do. But I can't contact your great aunt Edna and tell you where she buried the money. Like, you know, I want to make that clear. But also, so it was really hard for a little while to kind of, for lack of a better term, brand myself. So I guess kind of, you know, people just started calling me Joe Diamond, and I started doing like local ticketed shows and like weird, quirky spaces. Like I did one in an artist studio in a mansion that only sat 13 people, and it was really small, but that gave me a chance to like work on some new artsy ideas. But that ended up really taking off in the area. And that kept growing. I then started doing shows at the Woodstock Opera House, which is also reportedly haunted.
That's cool.
For anyone who doesn't know, that's the building Bill Murray jumps out of in the movie Groundhog Day. It was filmed in Woodstock, Illinois. That's where I was born and raised. So I've performed on that stage. That's the first stage Orson Welles ever performed on too. And I've done a few Halloween shows there. I did some Halloween shows at another mansion and some other locations over the years. And this year I am doing my Halloween show at the Maxwell Mansion. So through just no fault of my own, I wish I could sit here and be like, you know, I really thought, oh, I should be in a place that you can feel the history, and I should seek out a place that like has, you know, kind of a vibe and maybe some, you know, historic ghosts attached to it. It's just like they contacted me for the most part. And it just kind of, you know, I've heard people like ministers talk about being called to the ministry. And in a real sense, I was called to places like the Opera House and the Maxwell Mansion just from word of mouth, just from people hearing about what I was doing. And yeah, so I've been at the Maxwell for a few years, but last year I appeared on the TV show Penn and Teller Fool Us on the CW. So as a result of that, we've had people just constantly coming. We originally just had a sign-up sheet where people and the mansion paid me to just do appearances there, and people could sign up and come in for like a mini show. But those were getting filled like within minutes of me arriving. So we finally shifted to just doing a ticketed show once or twice a week. And those have been all of them, with the exception of like a small handful, three or four maybe, that haven't sold out. And so we seat about 35 people in the room. So it's still intimate. It's not as big as like the Woodstock Opera House, even though that space is still fairly intimate. But yeah, but the Maxwell, like the moment I saw it, the moment I went there, I was like, oh, this feels like home. This is where I'm supposed to be. And again, the fact that, and the current owners, the previous owner was great too. He's the one who originally hired me. The new owners came on board and like they had just heard so much buzz about like me and decided to keep me on and allowed me to start doing the ticketed shows, and we've continued to grow. They own other properties. I'm starting to do shows at their other properties too. And yeah, so the Maxwell has, and we'll get into, and I'm sure you'll talk about some of the history and such of the Maxwell. And I've been able to incorporate that into some of my work, which is why I'm so excited for the Halloween shows this year for 2025. is we're going to do every Friday, including Halloween night, and I'll really get to dive into the history of the building, what people have experienced, and those kinds of things.
Very cool. Now, have you experienced anything while you're there?
Yeah.
Okay, do tell. I would love to hear.
Okay. So, first of all, lots of little things have happened. My good friend, she's the ghostess of my show. She checks people in and introduces the show. Her name's Angela. She's great, but she is more sensitive to like ghosts and spirits. And I say that because I think we all are to some extent. Like I think we all have experiences, but again, I, as far as like skills, abilities, whatever you want to call them, like I, you know, again, can't tell you where, can't contact Aunt Edna for you, but I have had my fair share of experiences. Mm-hmm. That said, so we've had the chandelier suddenly swing and flicker, even when no one's upstairs. Mm-hmm. That's in the main ballroom. The main ballroom is right under the Grant Suite, where President Grant once stayed as a house guest, and right over the speakeasy. Down in the speakeasy is where Dr. Maxwell did a lot of his post-retirement medical procedures and surgeries when he moved to Lake Geneva. And he was, the best way to put it, he was kind of a partier. He would like to get drunk and ride his horse into town and all this stuff. So I can't imagine, you know, I'm sure his heart was in the right place for a doctor of the 1800s. But as a doctor of the 1800s, I also can't assume his science and procedures and practices would stand up to any sort of scrutiny today.
Because I can't remember exactly when it is in history, but like, I think doctors didn't have to be licensed for like a really long time.
He was a doctor in Chicago and he retired up to Lake Geneva.
Yeah.
So there's that as well. And of course, no records of any of that. It's just, we see like, oh yeah, he did that, but there's no like medical records or who came to him or when or anything. So my current theory, before I tell you what happened to me, because I've had people explain like lots of different kinds of phenomena. One of the bartenders claims she always sees a little boy. Angela usually feels a woman's presence. And I think even if they all survived, which I think is being generous, if all of the medical patients that came there survived, doing all of that, you know, people in pain, people, you know, trying to get better, all that stuff, it can't help but leave some energy or something behind.
Right. I totally agree with you.
So yeah. I truly think that, you know, again, that's why there's so many different, because normally it's like always like the one thing and this woman, she's on the third floor and this and that. So I think because of that, that's why there's so many different sightings, so to speak. So what happened with me during lockdown, the previous owner let my wife and I stay there for a few days, which we were like, great, it's a chance to get outside of the house. We get to stay there. We'll be the only ones in the building. And that sounds great on paper until you're in this giant old building by yourselves, like, no one at the front desk, no bartender on, like, you're like, and you just
like
feel
really
the,
alone.
Yeah, for the first time in probably decades, you know, anyone has been truly alone in that house. Because again, it's a hotel, you know, people stay right there, you know, throughout the year, throughout the week. And so my wife went to bed early the last night. She's an early bird. I'm kind of a night owl. I'm sitting in the ballroom where we have the shows now. I'm in front of the fireplace. Again, this is right over where the speakeasy is now. I'm reading a book. I finish my drink, close it. It's a little after midnight. And I stand up and I look in the mirror and there's someone standing over my left shoulder.
Oh my God.
And I couldn't see who it was. Like, if I think about it, like, I can't see their face. Like,
okay.
Yeah. So I don't know if I had one. I honestly couldn't tell you because I just see them. And before I can think, I turn around to see who it is. And when I turn to see who it is, no one's there. And then I turn back and look in the mirror and no one's there. Now, I'm going to be completely honest. Again, I think this is you know, I have to take full responsibility for this. I had had 5 old fashions that night. No bartender on duty, so I made them myself. And I'm still not 100% sure I know how to correctly make an old fashioned.
And that is like such a Midwest drink.
It is a Midwest drink. Oh, yeah. It's my favorite drink. It's absolutely my favorite drink. Absolutely. So the line I like to say is it was either the spirits or the spirits, one or the other. You know, I let those I tell the story make up their own minds. And that's the other thing, too. Like, I often say, like, oh, that's the one, I guess, I don't know if problem's the right word. I guess issue or a barrier I have with things like paranormal investigation is you're trying to use science, you know, the normal to experience the paranormal outside of the normal. Like I often say, like, yeah, my work would not hold up in a lab. My experiences wouldn't hold up in a laboratory. I don't think neither would something like love or your favorite sports team being able to get a touchdown 100% of the time. Like, there's lots of things that are still very meaningful, very, real, that don't hold up in a lab. And I do make that distinction because I do some work with a good friend of mine, Dr. Tony Barnhart out of Carthage College, and he's a diehard skeptic. He likes to just... the great thing is he doesn't brush it all off. He still loves like we love horror movies, we love like haunted history, all this kind of stuff. But he has a lot of different insights, and it's I think the two of us are healthy for both of us, like to kind of balance each other out. But I've mentioned a couple times, like, and he's the one like I really had that conversation with of, yeah, no, what I'm talking about and what I do doesn't hold up in labs. Your work has to. So, and that's okay.
And I was just, it's funny that you bring that up because I was, the episode that I was actually recording, because I'm batch recording at the present time. I did an episode before this that I recorded, and I talked about how sometimes you can have all the instruments in the world for paranormal detection, and your feeling is probably the one that's more valid than anything else, because you can't dismiss that. If you feel something, that's part of your clairs. You know what I mean? Like your clairvoyance, clairsentience, all of that. Like that is more valid to me than, because I can see a spiritual meter go off and I can be like, okay, cool. But did I feel anything?
You know, that's why I like things like
that before I trust an instrument.
Yes. An instrument like a pendulum or a spirit bottle. I also trust, as soon as it becomes electronic, I'm kind of like, there's something, I don't know.
And it's not to discredit them, because I do think they can be useful to a certain caliber, but that's not what I believe. You know, that's not my proof to me. That's my tool to aid me and guide me.
Exactly.
Sometimes that gets so misconstrued in paranormal investigations, and it's like, no. So I want to ask a question for when you are, I want to kind of dive in a little bit more into like your actual mind reading process, because I'm so intrigued by this. And I don't know if you are able to, like, if we can do like a little mini mind reading session with me.
Of course.
Or like
of course.
what we can do. Yeah. But I am curious on a couple of things when it comes to this.
So start off with your questions, and I'll either answer them with an answer, or I'll say that'll be easier to just demonstrate. So let's see what you got.
Because I'm kind of a morbid the merrier kind of thing.
Sure.
So I'm just curious, have you ever mind read somebody and come across like really weird thoughts, and you're like, you know, maybe this person just needs to go back and sit down? Or like, you know, or have you come across anything that's been disturbing, so to speak?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you tell us?
A little bit. Cause there's there's a slight bit of, what's the thing with doctors, like, you know, client privacy or whatever, you know, kind of stuff. And I've done like private readings as well, where I sit down and do like a, a full-length reading. And actually, when we're done recording, if you've got a few minutes, I can do like an in-depth thing with you as well. So we can do that. For something like that, I only do one-on-one because we do deal with, you know, you're dealing with people's minds, body, spirit, all this different stuff, how they relate to others, how they relate to things like the afterlife, all that stuff. So it is pretty personal. And there's a, for me, a very clear distinction between on stage and off. On stage, I will talk with anyone about just about anything. I'll say when I'm like, hey, I can't give you an answer for that. I can't, you know, tell you only you can, you know, like you were talking about before, I can give you tools. I can give you that kind of stuff or give you like some new insights. But on stage, where it's much more of an entertainment context, and I include that even when I'm not on a stage, I include that when I'm working a house party or at the Maxwell or, you know, for lack of a better term, now, like when with what we're about to do, I try to keep it very light and very fun. I'd be lying if I said I didn't pick up on any negativity, even when I'm trying to keep it all light and all fun. And it really is, you do have to learn to, for lack of a better word, be intuitive in the moment. There are, here's one example that just happened. Literally at the last show this last week, I do something called psychometry where people give me an object. I don't know who in the room it belongs to. And I give a reading based on that object. And then I give it back to attempt to give it back to the correct person in the room and ask them to like rate how accurate everything I said was. And to a large extent, there's no real secret to that. I am holding it and I am not filtering. I am just going with what comes to me. And you get objects, you get all the time. I get a lot of rings. I get bracelets, you know, those kinds of things. Necklaces. Sometimes when the necklaces have a cool charm on them and stuff, that's fine. This felt like a necklace. So in the bag it was in. So I was like, okay. And those are usually good to start with because, you know, it's, you can't tell usually who it belongs to in the room. And it's not the most interesting, but it can be the most meaningful. So that's a good, well, I take it out and this one had a little vial on it. And I could tell it's the kind of vial that carries ashes. I know because I've gotten human remains and pet remains once, at least 5 times in my career. It's, they've all been human except for one. And I see it and I'm just like, and I tread lightly because this is a memory of someone passed on, you know?
Sure.
I don't want to use your memories or this person's memories of this person as entertainment fodder for everyone else, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like I want to be respectful. I still want to give everyone an entertaining time. So I will say that, and I'll make it very, because that's the other thing too. If I'm holding that, anything I say, I don't want that person to think I'm like channeling their dead loved one.
Sure.
So I make sure to say like, look, I'm picking this up from you. Maybe a little bit about the kind of person they are, but I am not in communication with this person. Because I want to give mystery, but I also don't want to purposefully confuse people either.
Right? Sure.
So that's a pretty heavy thing. Not necessarily dark, but that can be heavy. I've gotten some people where it's like, and here's another secret. We all get this too, where we're like, we meet someone, we're like, oh, you're a problem. Or, oh, you two. You two are not a match. He was probably yelling at you in the car on the way over. Or she like was nagging you about something, you know. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. All that kind of stuff. We have that all the time.
Yeah.
But we don't say it. You know, of course not. We don't, like, I'm not gonna bring someone up and be like, oh wow, you punched a hole while arguing with your wife earlier today. Like, I'm not gonna say that. Because even if I am right, they may not admit it. And I'm actually more concerned if they do.
Yes.
So, but I can take that and I can go one more layer. I can go, oh, so you're someone who, you know, I can talk about that in a not necessarily a positive way, but a neutral way. I say, oh, you're very much a, you know, react first, think about it later kind of person. Like, okay. I can still use that or just not say anything at all. Like, that's the biggest thing. Like, if you can't say something nice, can't say something positive, yeah. Don't say anything at all. If I am going to go into, for lack of a better term, negative things or dark things, like, that's, again, like, more for the Halloween show. I'll talk about the history of a building or what's happened. Again, I don't want to sensationalize. I don't want to use someone else's pain and suffering for, you know, again, type stuff. Yeah. I want to make sure I'm doing it. And there's a reason for it, not just for the sake of, you know, doing it.
Right.
So, but at the same time, again, like, we, as human beings and as spiritual beings, we want to maybe not go into the darkness, but go up to the edge, maybe peek over the edge or something, or see, like, yeah. Oh, what could happen? So, and I try to ride that line. And if I do pick up something like that in a reading, I can talk about it a little bit more, but for the most part. And the other thing too, is I'm setting the parameters too. If I'm telling someone to think of, you know, a number from 1 to 10, you know, sure, I could go into all the numerology of what the number means, but for the most part, I'm not going to get if they, you know,
mm-hmm.
are overcoming abuse or anything like that.
Right on. Okay, cool. I love that. That's really interesting.
I'll also just say to people, like, I can't say that, I'm not going to say this publicly, but I'm going to put it this way, and I'll just tell them, like, kind of vague it up a bit. Like, I told someone recently, your progress has been great. You know what I mean? Other yep. people in your life know what that means. They've noticed. They just haven't had the opportunity. We're all going to give you a round of applause now. They said thank you after, and we moved on. Like, so, like, I've whispered yeah. in people's ears too, if I feel like it's appropriate. That's more like in a house party where everyone knows the person, and, like, so I'm not just, like, whispering in a stranger's ear. They're going to be much more invested. Like, it's their friend or their, you know, sister or something like that. Where it's a little bit more, you know, again, more of a community aspect. So yeah, so I've developed a lot of ways to communicate. Yeah, exactly.
Very cool. Very cool.
Any other questions before we try some stuff?
I don't think so. Okay. I don't think right. so, because yeah, I'm really curious. I'm really curious about this, and I want the listeners to hear this too.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Well, we can do some of this with the listeners playing along as well. So if you want to put this clip up on, like, Instagram or something after the fact, so people can comment and let us know how accurate they were, or they can email you through the podcast as well. I'm really curious to see how this works. You don't have to look at us. You just need to use their imaginations, open their minds, and listen to what we say. Now, the way this will work, and it has worked in recorded situations in the past. I have tested this, so it should work with a lot of your listeners. Basically, what's going to happen is I'm going to think about a memory from my past. I'll try and project it to you, Star. We'll see how many of these psychic impressions you and the listeners get. Now, since the listeners are going to do this along with us, don't say your answers out loud. And again, for the listeners, if you're listening with someone else, you know, don't say your answers out loud. Just think. And also don't think about it too much. Intuition is knowing without knowing, okay? Because telepathy is a two-way street. You need someone to send the thought and someone to receive it. When someone's just sitting there going, tell me what I'm thinking, but they're not sending me, that's the equivalent of, like, me calling the phone, but them not picking it up. Or us both trying to call each other at the same time and no connection is made. When you one person make the call, one person receive it. So in this case, I'm making the call, I'm sending it to you, and we'll see if you receive it. So for starters, just take a deep breath. Exhale. Again, intuition is knowing without knowing. Take another deep breath. And as you exhale, get in your mind a number from 1 to 10. Lock it in your mind. Don't change it. Remember that number. All right, we'll do it again. Again, I'll keep it simple. Take another deep breath. And as you exhale, get in your mind a direction on a compass. Lock it in your mind. Don't change it. Remember that direction. All right, this last one's going to be the most difficult. This time, I want everyone to think of two simple geometric shapes, so one inside the other, like a square inside a rectangle. Don't think of those. I just said them. So take another deep breath. Exhale. Remember those two shapes. All right. I'm curious to see how you and everyone did. I'm going to tell you what I was picturing, and at the end, we'll see how many of these you got, Star. And again, listeners can email in and let us know how they did. But I was thinking a pretty common memory, something that a lot of people would experience or would have experienced. I was thinking about my first day of school, and I couldn't find geometry class, so I asked someone where it was, and they said it was on the north side of the building, so that will be one. When I got to the classroom, I noticed that there were 7 students in total, and when I looked at the chalkboard, the teacher had already drawn a circle and a triangle. So, Star, did you get any of those?
2 out of 3.
You got 2 out of 3. Which did you get?
I got the circle and the triangle.
Perfect.
And I got the north.
And you got the north. Perfect. Perfect. Out of curiosity, since you didn't get the number of students, the other number, and I don't know why, I maybe because it was September 3rd, but very often people say, oh, I didn't get 7. I got 3. I'm just curious if that was the case with you with this.
Nope.
Okay. So that's been happening the last few times. I have no idea why. But still, like 2 out of 3, actually 3 out of 4, because he got both shapes. So I look for that with people. I'm not looking for 100%. I'm looking for connection. Now, the other thing too is when I do this with like a big group, the people who get none of them, I need those kinds of people too, because these are typically people who are better at generating their own thoughts than receiving other people's. These are the people who, when I say think of 2 simple geometric shapes, they think of like a star inside of a dodecahedron. they really think about what they're going to think about. And, you know, that's not perfect for, you know, this, but it's perfect for other things that I do as well. So, sure. And again, I don't hold myself up to 100%. I try to get, you know, 70 to 95% accurate with everything I do. So we're off to a good start already. Let's give this a shot. I'm going to have you send me a thought now, Star. Let me grab a notepad here. I'm going to write this down. Did you ever see like in parks or anything growing up that, people would like carve, a heart and then like initials in them and stuff?
Okay. Yeah.
Can you think of one of the first people you can remember having a crush on? That's going to be the very first one, okay? Can you be a celebrity? Can you remember both of their initials? You don't have to think of their whole name, just their first and last initial. Best you can. Okay, perfect. Okay, think about those. I'm going to draw a heart here. I'll write your name, Star. And I'm not going to pry for beyond the initials, so just in case it is someone you still know or a celebrity or anything like that, it's still fair. By the way, unless it's, I just want to make sure, unless it's JTT, that means I know it was Jonathan Taylor Thomas. Okay. All right. That's like literally the only initials that you can, like, that will give it away. All right. Let me write this. Okay. Now think of both initials. That was going to be a little confusing, Star, because I need you to look at your camera, not at the screen where I am. So look right at the camera and don't react. I'm going to recite the alphabet. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. Okay, perfect. You didn't flinch. You blinked a few times, but that's not what I'm looking for, so that's okay. We're going to do this again. Again, think of both initials. Z, Y, X, W, V, U, T, S, R, Q, P, O, N, M, L, K, J, I, H, G, F, E, D, C, B, A. Okay, can I stop thinking about the initials? You were kind of more like, oh my God, you can actually do this backwards. So let's do this again. Let's do this again. Again, think of the initials.
Okay.
ZYXWVUT, SRQPONML, KJIHGFEDCBA. Okay, I believe both these initials are different, yes?
Yes.
It's not like, you know, the same letter twice. And I believe both are consonants. Neither is a vowel. Is that correct as well?
Correct.
Okay. I think I'm going to write this down. I'm going to commit then. I'll write this down. I'll put this down. I'll keep this for people just listening. I wrote this on a notepad. I'm going to keep the notepad up here in camera frame. So, you know, I'm not, putting it down underneath or anything like that. We'll keep this fair. You can tell us, Star, what were the initials of your first crush?
JH.
There's a bit of a lag. It was J what?
H.
J H. Okay. Out of curiosity, when was the last time you thought of JH?
Oh my gosh. Like, probably not since high school.
Not since high school. Okay. I apologize. You can see with the handwriting. It looks a little bit like a U, but you can see clearly it is in fact a J. I did write star plus JH in the heart for
you. Oh my gosh. That is too wild.
Here, I'll do that. So it's a little clearer that that's a J. There we go. So, and I'll take a photo of this and send it to you on Instagram so you can, we can show people what it looked like and everything as well. So there we go.
That is awesome.
Thank you. Do you have some pen and paper? We can try one more. Yeah, grab some pen and paper. Cause one of the other things I like to think about, you know, it's kind of in the vein of creepy shit. One of the things I've liked to think about lately is like parallel universes, alternate universes, you know?
Yeah.
And one of my favorite mental exercises, thinking about a parallel universe where everything's the same as ours, but opposite.
Okay.
So it's very similar, but subtly different. So for example, we'd still be talking, but you'd be a guest on my show rather than me being a guest on your show. In this alternate reality, when you do laundry there, you don't lose a sock, you gain a sock. Okay. When you go out to eat, there, you sit at a giant piece of gum with a little tiny table stuck underneath it, you know, which is very, very different. And in that alternate reality, when you get to a crosswalk, and there's that little button there, in that alternate reality where it's the opposite, when you push that button, it actually does something. So everything's the same, just a little bit different. So we're going to kind of play with that right now. I want you to write down a 3-digit number. The only rule is make all 3 digits different, and don't do any zeros yet. You'll see why. Make them all 1 to 9. Any it can be a number that means something to you or one you make up right now. Okay.
Got it.
So now think about this. The other version of you would have written down those same numbers but reversed. So let's say you wrote down 1, 2, 3. The other version of you would write down 3, 2, 1, right? So do that for me now. Write down the opposite, like maybe next to it, those same 3 digits, but reversed.
Okay.
Now think about this for a moment. This is probably the first time both you and your doppelganger have ever been perfectly synced because they just wrote the opposite and now they've got those same numbers in front of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now let's play with those 2 numbers, and we'll do the opposite of whatever, you know, you and the doppelganger would do. So for example, for you, it'd probably be easier to add those 2 numbers together or subtract, which would be easier.
Add,
of course, which means for your doppelganger, they would subtract, right? So let's do that. I know it's a little harder, but subtract the smaller number from the bigger number. If you need your calculator, that's okay. And even if you go into the negatives, that's fine, really, but subtract them. And I know this is a little less comfortable for you, but that means you're syncing up again with this other version of you, and your thoughts are a little bit more open to this stuff. So once you've subtracted them, that's it. We're done. You don't need to do anything else with the numbers. Don't worry about that.
Okay. So, and you said to subtract them, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Got it.
And so now you have a number, that total, or sum or difference, whatever that would be called. That's a number that even you, neither you nor your doppelganger, could have known you would think of right now. And therefore, neither would I. And of course, if you did this again with different numbers, you would have a different number. It's, of course, not going to be the same number each time. So Remember when I recited the alphabet a moment ago?
Mm-hmm.
I want you to look at that number and I want you to just call off numbers from 1 to 10. Just tell me this much. Did we get down to a 2-digit number or do we still have a 3-digit number?
We have a 3-digit number.
Perfect. Okay. So look at just the first digit and then just count from 1 to 9. Try not to give anything away in your voice or anything.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Okay. I'm curious if any of your listeners picked up on this. I think that first digit is a 2. Is that correct?
Nope.
But there is a two in the number, in the final number. Yeah.
No.
It's not. I really thought there was a two. Really thought. Okay, that's okay. You can be honest. What is that? Just the first digit. What's the first digit?
Four.
Four. Okay. Because I was getting 295. Is it 495?
It is 495.
It is. Okay. All right. All right. Good. All right. So, again, the final thing I like to say is, again, mind reading is an art form, not a science. So that's but we got there in the end. That's all that matters.
Yes. And that is super cool.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. This is, and again, that's what makes this fun. You never know how it's going to go. If it's going to, like, my rule is even if I'm wrong, we still have fun. Like that's
right,
the thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, let's try one more. Do you play card?
Oh gosh. I haven't played since I was in my 20s. So we're not going to talk about who I am.
Okay. That's okay. That's okay. We can. It was like 3 or 4 years ago. So yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah.
Bless your soul.
Yes. All right. Here's what I'll do. I'm just gonna turn over a card. I've got the whole deck in this box here. I've turned one card upside down. Again, we'll do this all in your head. I turn one card over so it's facing the opposite way in this deck. And Star, just think of any card you want. Now I took the Jokers out of here, so don't think of that. Also, some people think like, oh, everyone must think of the Queen of Hearts, or everyone must think of the Ace of Spades. So don't pick either of those. Okay.
And that's funny because I'm like, huh, Queen of Hearts is easy.
Yeah. No, exactly. Exactly. Sometimes that is the other thing too with the path of least resistance with a lot of things.
Right. Okay. So come up with something a little bit more challenging.
Yeah. Okay. So, yes, exactly. That'll make it more challenging for me and more fun for you. Okay.
Okay, cool.
Okay. So it could be anyone but four suits. There's the two red ones, hearts and diamonds, and then the two black ones, spades and clubs. There's the ace, which will count as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. The jack would be 11, queen would be 12, king would be 13.
Okay.
One card in here is turned over, and I think you'd agree. If you were thinking of the card I turned over in here, that'd be pretty amazing, right?
Right.
But I turned it over before you thought of one. So look at your camera one last time. Let me see if I can. Okay. The card you are thinking of does not match the one I turned over inside this deck. So that's our time, Star. Thank you so much. No, I'm kidding. That's not the end. Here's the thing. Obviously, it's not the same card you thought of, but it's very close. You're very close, in fact. So I mentioned the colors, the reds and the blacks. I'm going to phrase it this way so you don't give anything away actually. Because I want to say this before you say anything. I think we got the color right. It's the same color, but the suit is wrong. So in your mind, don't say it out loud. So if it's, you know, a heart or a diamond, that would be red. Spade and a club would be black. Whatever the suit is, keep the color, but switch to the other suit of that same color.
Okay.
All right. Looks like you did that. Okay. And here's the other thing. I think we're close. I think you're only off by one. But trust your intuition. Do you think you need to go up one or down one?
I'm going to say down.
You're right.
Okay.
I think you're right. So yeah, so do that for me now. So if you go down one, keep the color, but swap to the other suit, you should have a brand new card in mind. Yes?
Yep.
Okay, forget about the original card you thought of. What's the new card that you built up in your mind?
Now? I can tell you now?
Yeah.
Four of Hearts.
The Four of Hearts. Okay, I'll go through this deck slowly. So that you can see, and again, I'm keeping this in frame, you can see all the cards really are facing the same way, all the way through. Yes. All of them except for that one right there. Yes.
Yep.
You can see all the other cards. And that is, almost dropped it. That would have been bad. But that is the Four of Hearts. See, if you had stuck with the Five of Diamonds, it would have been wrong. So that's why you had to change it to the Four of Hearts. Yeah. So. Yeah, that was the card you thought of, which wouldn't have matched that. So, yeah.
Yes. That is wild. Oh, my gosh. That is just, that's freaking wild. I love it.
It's some creepy shit.
Yes. Creepy shit.
Exactly.
Love it.
Exactly. And it gets even creepier and weirder at the shows. So, So you were talking about Beatty coming down. I travel all over the Midwest and beyond. I just did some shows in Texas. So if you go to my website, joediamondlive.com, I'm at Joe Diamond Live on all social media. If your company's having like an event or something, tell your work to hire me to come in, and it's an excuse for us to hang out. And be like, hey, I heard you on, and your listeners can say, hey, I heard you on creepy shit. So
awesome. Oh, thank you so much, Joe.
Oh, thank you. Here.
This was so much fun and I loved it. I loved the stories. I love all the things. You are truly amazing. I love
thank you. Thank you. I love you. I love the show. I love everything you're doing. It's an honor. It's an honor to be here. And I'm looking forward to more stuff you're doing as well.
Thank you. Thank you. I so appreciate that. Like, seriously, appreciate that so much. Thank you. So very cool. All right, you guys. So we're going to wrap it up. Definitely go check out at Joe Diamond Live. He is truly magnificent. And until next week, remember, sometimes the creepiest shit is also the truest. Bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.